1 Samuel chapter number 8, 1 Samuel chapter number 8. And, you know, the Word of God, all 66 books give us a revelation of who God is. But, you know, the Word of God also gives us a revelation, a revealing of who man is. You know, the Word of God, unlike what some people suggest, doesn't cover up man's frailties and flaws. As you study the nation of Israel, we call them the children of Israel, but the nation of Israel and the plan that God had for them and the plan that God still has for them. And may I remind you tonight, the church is not Israel. If you get that mixed up in your theology, and by the way, why does theology matter? Theology matters because when you get sick, your theology shows. Let me say it again. When you get sick, your theology shows. If I get sick and say God's not fair, that's a reproduction of my theology, what I really believe about God. When our loved ones pass away, our theology really comes out. And our theology really comes out in our day-to-day living. And in 1 Samuel, I love the book of 1 Samuel. I'd started in chapter 17, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you need to go back further. And I love chapters 1, 2, and 3, where God uses Hannah, barren Hannah, to have a child. His name is Samuel, the first prophet, I think, in the Old Testament that God uses. And in chapter number 8, Samuel's getting old. In fact, verse 1 says, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. Now, look at verse 3. Now, we have no question that Samuel was a man of God, right? But look at verse 3. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, after money. They took bribes, and they perverted judgment. Isn't that so like man? When man turns aside after money, how many of you ever heard this? They'll do anything for a dollar, meaning therefore sale, meaning that they somebody will bribe them. And then when you become that way, it perverts your judgment or your discernment. Then all the elders of Israel. Now these were guys that were leadership. They were leading Israel. Their daddy was a good man, and I want to tell you, faith is not generational. In other words, faith is passed down, but the faith of our grandfathers is not necessarily our faith unless we come to know Christ. And in verse number 4, all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and they came to Samuel unto Ramah. And they said unto him, behold, thou art old. How many of you like to hear that? Boy, you're old. But I was thinking about you. I told Christy this past week, I said, January went by so fast, I felt like Billy Connolly was driving. I don't know where it went. It went by so fast, kind of like Cincinnati and Tennessee did that day we were on that trip. But, you know, there's nothing like being told you're old. And he said, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, I want you to look at this. Now, make us a king to judge us. Now, look at this, like all the nations. In verse number 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. Samuel, being the man of God that he is, his heart broken, prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, they served other gods, so do they also unto thee. In other words, the Lord's telling Samuel, what they've done to me, they're doing to you. Can I say tonight, if you're following God and people around you that you love dearly make choices like this, it should grieve your heart. And Samuel's grieved. And notice verse 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. How be it yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. Notice that, please. For his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to air his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks and to be bakers. He'll take your fields, your vineyards, your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them unto his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, verse 19. Notice Samuel tells them everything that God has told him. Nevertheless, regardless of what God has said, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. Samuel heard all the words of the people. And he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. Now I want you to think about it, some thoughts just from the passage this afternoon. We go through the passage. I've entitled this, if I had a title, When God Gives Me What I Want. We're living in some precarious days, spiritually speaking. You must trust me as your pastor, not because of mystery. You must trust me today, even in our fellowship, we're living in some precarious days. We're living in some days where people are going beyond what God is saying and saying, regardless of what you say, I want my way. I'm going to tell you the most dangerous thing I think in reaping my consequences is this: when God gives me what I want. When God gives me what I want. Father God, tonight, may you take your word. As we open the word, dear God, it's your word, it's not mine. These are not my thoughts. And dear God, I pray that you give us ears tonight to hear what you have to say to us. You know who's here tonight. We all need to hear what you desire to say. I believe, God, tonight you're warning us. It's like you warned the children of Israel. God, you're warning us to hear what you have to say. May you be exalted. I pray that you take my words, dear God, and may they not be confused. Dear God, may they be succinct and precise. And may you get glory, I pray tonight, in Jesus' name. And you ask the question, well, Pastor, what's so wrong with the children of Israel wanting a king? Well, I want you to take your Bible, and anytime you study the Bible, you need to study it in its completeness. Go to the book of Deuteronomy with me for just a moment. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was before Samuel. The book of Deuteronomy is known as one of the five books that we believe that God used Moses to pen. We call them the Pentateuch. God already knew what Israel needed. Now, let me say this up front. God was not opposed to the children of Israel having a king. I'll show you that. He was opposed to them having a king to meet their needs. Now, I want you to look with me in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, and I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, the land that God has given them, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Now, God already knew what they would do. By the way, did you know that God already knows what we'll do? He wouldn't be God if he didn't. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee. Now look at this. Here's the qualification. God said, if you're going to have a king, here are the qualifications for my blessing. Now look at this. Here's the qualifications. Whom the Lord thy God shall choose. In other words, first of all, if you're going to have a king, then I'm going to choose him. Which the Lord thy God shall choose, and shalt possess, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me. Thou shalt anywise, God shall choose one from among thy, notice this, thy brethren. It cannot be a foreigner. It must be a fellow Jew. He wilt thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Now notice what this king that God chooses cannot do. He shall not multiply horses to himself. He shall not cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way, neither shall this king multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom. Now notice it. Here's the qualification God has said. That he shall write him a copy of this law, the word of God, out of that which is before the priest and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. And God said, the king that I'll choose for you, in other words, he's going to rule you by the word. By all the word. That he may learn to fear the Lord. This is going to be a king that reverences and worships God. And he's going to be a king that desires to obey the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Why? That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, people say God is overbearing. No, God just sets up the standard knowing. He said, listen, if you will follow my plan, I will put a king over you that's one of you. I'll put a king over you that's going to rule righteously and justly because he's going to rule right out of my word. Now listen, we talk about how corrupt government it is today. Why is government so corrupt? Because they're following the word, right? Joke. I need to say joke. No, they're not following the word of God at all. And you see, God knew that if you get the wrong person to rule over you just because you wanted someone to rule over you, God said, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take your land. He's going to take your servants. He's going to take your kids. And you're going to serve him. Now, go back to chapter number 8 with me for just a second. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here's the children of Israel. They're displeased, rightly so, with Samuel's sons. And notice they say, we want a king. What they did not say is, we want God to help us find a king. They're demanding a king without any regards to God. They're looking to a man for security instead of God. In other words, their problem was, we want to be like everyone else. Now I want you to turn to chapter 12 with me for just a moment. You remember what God told the children of Israel would happen to them? If they chose a king that didn't meet the qualifications God had set forth? Look at chapter 12, verse number 6. Now I actually go back to verse 1, so let's get context. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And by the way, that king's name was Saul. The Bible says this about Saul. When Saul walked in, everybody noticed him. Why? because he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. And Brother Brian, I believe people said, boy, he'll make a great king because look at him. Look at how strong he is. And look at how charming he is. And he'll make a great leader. If you had to judge based on what we know about Saul's leadership, Brother Joe, what would you say? What kind of rating would you give Saul?
Yeah, I think probably not too high.
Brother Dave? An F. Cal, what would you give him?
Barely passing.
Barely passing. Brother Sean? 3. He had some good points early, didn't he? But he was crazy. He was crazy. And here's Samuel saying, I've hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me. And now behold, the king walketh before you. I'm old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? Whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? In other words, I will restore it to you. Samuel said, even though my sons may be wicked, I have not done anything to defraud you or to deceive you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. You know what God always does to remind us of something? He jumps back. God takes us back to the faithfulness. I was thinking Brother Mike Stone preached on Friday night about why men need the church and church need men. And Brother Mike said that he grew up holiness and they always had church on Thursday nights. And he said, all rec leagues played on Thursday night. And he said, and every Thursday night, my parents would come get me, regardless of whether in practice or game, and said, we're going to church. He said, I'd be sitting in the back seat. I'd be pouting. I'd be fussing. I'd be mad. And he said, my mama, who never said much, turned around and said, son, you've forgotten what God's done for us. You've forgotten how God healed you in the hospital this occasion. You've forgotten what God has done for you over here. You've forgotten what God has done for you over here. You've forgotten. And he said, son, I haven't and I will not forget God and what he's done. Because you know what our nature is? We forget. We forget. And here's Samuel taking them back. And he said, it's the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. Yeah, Moses was a tremendous leader. Aaron was a mediocre leader. And it's the Lord that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still. I can imagine in my mind, Brother Ryan, as he's addressing these people, they're starting to get antsy. You ever watch people that when you start speaking the truth of the Word of God, they suddenly start rattling their keys? They get antsy? And he said, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. Samuel's taking them back and reminding them of everything God has done for them. Can I remind all of us tonight, when we're tempted to want a shortcut and leave God out of a decision-making process, you better get in your Bible. Because I'm pretty sure God will always remind you what he's done for you. And in every area of my life, it's always been God. If you can explain your story and God's not involved, that's a scary thing. And he said, it's God that's done this. And look at verse number 8. When Jacob was coming to Egypt, your fathers cried unto the Lord. Then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And what Samuel's saying, When they forgot the Lord, he let them have their way. May I remind you tonight, young person might be here, middle-aged person, the devil may be attacking you from every area. You may be on the verge just giving up and going the way of everybody else. Can I remind you tonight? Take a long look at what God has already done in your life. Look where God has brought you at. Listen, can I say this? I'm not against education, but I think we profane education, give it too much of a heads up and say, well, I'm educated, I know what to do. You might be educated in a field of study, but the field of study that you're educated in doesn't prepare you for life. Life is a lot harder. And I'm going to tell you, the only reason, the way we can make it, is God. The reason I'm still with this woman right here is God. The reason she's still with me is God. And I say tonight, he said, I want you to remember, you've forgotten what God has done for you. You've forgotten how every time that you were in trouble, God brought you out. But you know what? There'll come a time, and this scares me, when God will let you have what you want. God will let you have what you want. And notice what he says in verse 7. They cried unto the Lord and said, we've sinned because we've forsaken the Lord. We've served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwell safe. Now look at verse 12. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you say unto me, nay, regardless of everything they'd seen God do, when they saw the worldly king come around, we want a king to reign over us. Notice what Samuel said. When the Lord, go back to the previous verse, your God, what is that next word? What tense is that verb in? He was your king. But because you wanted to be like the rest of the world, and in weight of all the evidence of what God has done for you, you said, we want to be like everybody else. You see, what made the children of Israel stand out amongst all those pagan Gentile nations wasn't just their dietary laws, although they did. It wasn't just circumcision, although that was different. They served the one true and living God. Now, I want to bring that home tonight. What should stand out about a child of God? Not just, yes, I should dress differently, modestly. Yes, my mouth should be different. My language should be different. Where I go should be different. But what really should stand out about me? My testimony of what? God is my king. He's my ruler. And here's the sad thing about it. We want to be like everybody else. Samuel said, when the Lord God was your king, now therefore, verse 13, behold the king whom you've chosen and whom you've desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. In other words, God has given you what you want. I want you to turn back to chapter 8 now with me. As Samuel is telling them everything God has said, we want a king. We're looking to a man for security. They're looking at the present, and they're discounting everything that God had done in their past. and saying, we don't care, we want a king to rule over us right now. Samuel goes into the truths of what the Lord says. He tells them what will happen. But I want you to look at verse number 19. This is sad. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations. You see, God is speaking today. God's saying, this is the way I want you to walk in it. This is the way that I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. I want you to walk in this way. But God, I don't want to walk that way. God, I want to be like everybody else. I'm tired of being different. If you and I are true, and I'm telling you, I feel it on Sunday mornings. If you preach the Bible in context, it makes people uneasy. Because we have invented a Jesus today that don't require much, and don't ask you to be different, don't ask you to stand out, and really lets you just blend in. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. And if that's the kind of Jesus you have, you won't go to heaven when you die. And we, if we're not careful, we're at the crossroads. I want to be like everybody else. And the Lord said the same in verse number 22. Hearken to their voice and make them a king. Now, we're an advantage over them. How are we an advantage over these people? Because we know the king they got, don't we? I wonder tonight, no, without raising your hand, how many of you have a story where at a crossroads in your life you said, I want to be like everybody else, and God let you have your way. But the only way you know the results is because now you're looking back and seeing the consequences and the pain and the scars. As we wrap this thought up, we must not make substitutes for God. We try to trust our methods. We try to tell God about through what means. God, we want you to deliver us through this means. God, we want you to deliver us through a king that we have over us. God, we don't want you to deliver us the way you've been doing it in the past. God, you've done all that. But God, we want to be like everybody else. And we want you to do like you do everybody else does. When we get to that stage of our life, that's dangerous. You see, the problem in our application point is we struggle to be different. They knew what God was saying, but they were not satisfied with his answer. Sad to say today, do we know what God is saying? And when we know what God is saying and what God has said, and we turn from it and go the way of the world, you know what we're saying? God, I don't like what you're saying. And I believe there's a time in our lives. Yes, God is long-suffering, is he not? God is merciful, is he not? But I believe in God's mercy and God's long-sufferingness. There comes times when we, at that crossroad, choose that. And God says, you can have your way. I'll never forget a story that just came to my mind. A man that I went to church with years ago in another city. When I moved in to LaGrange, he was a hard man. He's one of the first few people we went to see Brother Joe. My pastor taught me a lesson. We were knocking on the door, and we knocked. And people always looked through the curtain. He saw us. He came to the door. Hey, Brother Ralph. Hey, Brother Steve. He was very quick in talking to us, but he never invited us in. My pastor said, someone that won't invite you in, just know you're not welcome. Right? Long story short, years later, I was talking to him. He said, "Brother Steve, years ago," this man's older than I am now, "God called me to preach, and I know it." And I said, "No, not doing it." He'd gone his way. Several marriages, lost a son to suicide. To my knowledge, I don't know if he's even in church today. You see, we can't see out there. But I believe that God brings his children to a place where he gives us the truth. And it's the truth that will require us to be different. But it's a truth that's rewarding. And when you and I look to anybody but God for our security and our answers, well, God, I want an answer that doesn't involve you directly. God may let us have our way, but the consequences come at a great price. You see, this chapter reveals to us this. Wanting it another way besides God's will cost us. But verse 19 and 20 was saddest verses of Scripture. Regardless of what you've said, we want a king. I wonder tonight, I don't know why the Lord let me land here tonight, but I wonder tonight, maybe you're at that crossroad and you're fighting. You know the truth of the Word of God and what God is saying, but you're fighting. No, God, I don't want it the way you're delivering it. I want it another way. Are you willing to get your way, even if it means getting what you want, but costing you so much down the road? I'll never forget, Mac Brunson said it this way. Why is this in the Bible? So that we can learn from that example. Because many of us, if we learn from our own example, we got all those scars. So I challenge you tonight. God's Word reveals who He is, but God's Word reveals who we are. The heads bowed. Father God, tonight, help us to be still. Help us to stand still and turn all the noise off. Maybe we're at the crossroads and you're saying, "Follow me." And we're scared because the world is compelling us to go at what seems like an easier way to be like them. God, I don't want to get my way. God, I want to follow you. We see what they actually got. How devastating it was. God, here tonight, in this place right here tonight, would you deal with our hearts? Help us to stand still, be still, and hear what you have to say to us. God, help us to choose your way. You've promised us. God, you've promised us you'll take care of us. You've promised me you'll lead me. You've promised me you'll never forsake me. You've promised me that if I trust you with all my heart and don't lean to my own understanding, you will direct my paths. You promised that. And God, help me to listen to you, to follow you. And dear God, help us tonight in this room. Maybe somebody's standing on that precipice. Help them to recount and recall what you've done in their life. God, help. Their heads bowed. I want Miss Donna, I want you to come to piano tonight.